Sunday after Pentecost. As is our tradition, on the fifth Sunday of the month, we will sing the daily prayer service of Matins, an ancient morning prayer. For those watching at home, we are using the service of Matins from Lutheran Service Book, hymns number 656, 664, 566, and 668. We begin on page 2 with a confession of sins. Let us rise. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. And let us kneel and be seated. I confess to God Almighty before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by my fault. By my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord.
Which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may
Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This time, the baby will be seated. We invite the youngsters of the congregation to come forward to the children's.
So, today, I want to look at this window behind us. But before we do that, I want you to know, who knows their alphabet? Do you know your alphabet, Hannah? What's the first letter of the alphabet? A. What's the last letter of the alphabet? Z. Unless you're in Canada. Then it's Z. Then it's crazy. So, A and Z. Now, look at the window behind me. Do you see an A? Stylized a little bit. You see the A? This side, all the way at the top. You see it? The purple A? You see it? Okay. Now go to the window on that side, all the way at the top. That kind of looks the same, doesn't it? But what's it missing?
The stick that goes across.
Right, this is a crossbar. So that's not an A. That's a different letter, but it's Greek. It's Omega. And that's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So when we say something is the A to Z, it means they have everything. You know? And Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the A and the Z. I am everything." So that's Alpha and Omega. When you go back to your pews, you have to look around the church. There's another Alpha and Omega somewhere in the church. You have to look for that when you go back. Now, on this side, below the alpha, isn't that interesting? Alpha, you know, that's how we got the word alphabet, because the first two letters in Greek are alpha and beta. That's what we call it, alpha. So below the alpha, what do we see? What's that a picture of up there? Below the alpha on that side, second picture down, what is that, Brennan? It's not the best picture in the world. What do you think it is? The white thing with the flag? Any guesses? What do you think, Cora? Well, it's not a person. What did you say? The Lamb. It's the Lamb of God. Now, who do we call the Lamb of God? Jesus. Jesus is the victorious Lamb of God. That's why he's got the flag. Now, in the middle window, all the way at the top, what's up there? What's up there, Tessa? All the way at the top in the middle, what is it? A hand. Who are we representing with a hand, do you think? Actually, not Jesus. Good guess. It's always a good guess at children's message. God the Father. God the Father doesn't have a body. We don't know what he looks like. So we represent him with a hand because he's the creator. He made everything. And when you go back to your pews, there's another and somewhere in the church in the windows if you look for the other and that we have over here. So on this side, below the omega, what we see, it's white. Below the omega, below the purple letter, what do you see up there? What do you think it is? What do you think it is, Lena? Below the omega, it's white. And it's hard to make accurate pictures with big chunks of glass. What do you think, Lena? Give it a guess. What do you think? A bird. It's a bird. It's actually a dove. Now, who are we representing with a dove? Who do you think we represent with a dove? We have the land, God the Son. The hand is God the Father. So who are we representing with the dove? God the Holy Spirit. Because at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. So we represent it. So we have God, Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then we have God the Father in the middle, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our windows, because that, you know, represents who God is. There's another window out here about the Trinity. It just has an F, an S, and an HS. It kind of says, you can kind of look at that and find that in your house there. So that's enough for today. Well, next week, if Mr. Schley's not back, we will do the other three pictures in the window. Alright? Alright, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son to take away all my sins. Amen. All right, I have cookies for you all the good kids. Not all. And then we will continue with the sermon again. Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we talked about what a husband should do if he's confronted by an angry dog while out walking with his wife. This week you're out walking alone. And you confront the same angry dog, but this time the dog has a partner that comes up from behind you. Now you don't have to fight just one dog, but two. You are battling the enemy on two fronts. The two-front battle is what we learn about in our epistle lesson from Ephesians and our gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark. In Ephesians 6, St. Paul gives instructions about one of the enemies. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our enemy is the devil and his fallen angels. The devil is certainly active in the world and along with his minions causes no end of trouble. The devil and his minions are your enemy. But as we read about in the armor of God section here in Ephesians, it becomes apparent that you do not put on the armor of God to go on the offensive against the devil. You are only called to stand your ground. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. And you do not stand alone. You stand together with all the saints, wearing the armor of God to protect you from the assaults of the evil one. Now, the devil has many strategies. He lures, he accuses, he elevates. By luring you, he tempts you to sin. By accusing you of the sin you commit, he tempts you to despair. By showing you other people's sin, he tempts you to become self-righteous and believe that you are better than others. Beware. Do not underestimate the devil. He is quite clever, and he's had thousands of years of practice. The bad news is that the devil knows all your weak spots. The good news is the devil does not know what you are thinking, but he can only detect what you say and do. So battle sin in your thoughts and do not give the devil a foothold. The even better news is that you don't have to defeat the devil because the devil has already lost the war. Jesus has defeated the devil and the evil one has been restrained. The devil cannot just come up and seize you. The devil is like a big angry dog, but this dog is on a chain. The devil's been thrown out of heaven. The devil has been defeated by the Lamb of God and he's now restrained. The chain dog cannot pursue you. He cannot seize you, but rather he has to tempt you to come close enough to him that he can bite you. So stay alert. Stay on guard. You have the armor of God. You have the sword of the Spirit. You can resist the devil. And as we learn in James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil has no power over you. He can only tempt you. The one dog is on a chain. He cannot grab a hold of you if you just stay away, but he knows your weaknesses. So you need to know your weaknesses. You need to be brutally honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The battle is on two fronts. Your greatest weakness is the second dog. The devil's a dog in front trying to lure you, accuse you, elevate you, but he's chained. The other dog is actually within you. The second dog that you battle with is your own heart, steeped in sinful thoughts and desires. This battle can be far more difficult than battling the devil himself. In last week's gospel reading, Jesus confronted the religious leaders about their ceremonial washings, which they thought would help win them salvation. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus confronts food laws. And Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." Jesus is making a radical declaration. He's changing Old Testament teachings. Why can this teacher from Nazareth do this? By what authority? He can do it because he is God in flesh. The disciples are perplexed when alone with Jesus, he explains further in pretty earthy terms. And Jesus said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Out of the heart of man come all these evil desires." This is the second front that you have to fight. The second dog is your own heart. How often do you hear that you should just follow your heart? After hearing Jesus' list of evils coming from the heart, it's pretty clear that following your heart can be pretty terrible advice. In the novel Hammer of God by Swedish Lutheran Bishop Bo Geertz, an old pastor is greeting a new young pastor arriving at the parish. The young pastor has fallen into a theology in which it's believed that a person must make a decision to believe and give his heart to Jesus. Friedfeld is the young pastor who's talking to the old pastor, who's also called a rector. "I just want you to know from the beginning, sir, that I am a believer," Friedfeld said. His voice was a bit harsh. He saw a gleam in the old man's eyes, which he could not quite interpret. Was approval indicated, or did he have something up his sleeve? The rector put the lamp back on the table, puffed at his pipe, and looked at the young man a moment before he spoke. "So, you are a believer. I'm glad to hear that. What do you believe in?" Friedfeld stared dumbfounded at his superior. Was he jesting with him? But sir, I am simply saying that I am a believer." "Yes, I hear that, my boy, but what is it that you believe in?" Friedfeld was almost speechless. But don't you know, sir, what it means to be a believer?" "That is a word which can stand for things that differ greatly, my boy. I ask only, what is it that you believe in?" "In Jesus, of course," answered Friedfeld, raising his voice. I mean, I have given him my heart." The older man's face suddenly became as solemn as the grave. "Do you consider that something to give him?" By this time, Friedfeld was almost in tears. "But sir, if you do not give your heart to Jesus, you cannot be saved." "You're right, my boy. And it's just as true that if you think you are saved because you give Jesus your heart, you will not be saved. You see, my boy," he continued reassuringly as he continued to look at the young pastor's face in which uncertainty and resentment were shown in a struggle for the upper hand, "it is one thing to choose Jesus as one's Lord and Savior, to give him one's heart and commit oneself to him, and that he now accepts one into his little flock. It is a very different thing to believe on him as a redeemer of sinners, of whom one is chief. One does not choose a redeemer for himself, you understand, nor give one's heart to him. The heart is a rusty old can on a junk heap, a fine birthday gift indeed, But a wonderful Lord passes by and has mercy on that wretched tin can, sticks his walking cane through it, and rescues it from the junk pile and takes it home with him. That is how it is. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. We see here in the passage from Mark how Jesus declares all foods clean. This was a big part of Old Testament teaching, and it might seem like this is a big burden lifted off the people. They no longer have to be concerned about whether or not they're eating clean foods. They no longer have to be worried about whether or not they're washing their hands properly. This is a big burden lifted, and it would be a relief, except Jesus tells the people they do need to be concerned about the sin that is coming up from within them. What are they supposed to do about that? How can you stop your sinful heart when you are, by nature, sinful and unclean? As you well know, the struggle against the sin bubbling up from within you is a very real struggle and never ending, and you have failed to control it. It would be a lot easier to wash your hands a certain way and not eat bacon or shrimp than to control your heart. Jesus does not lessen the law. He makes it impossible, you realize, to keep it. You cannot be good enough. You are indeed a poor, miserable sinner, and you need a Savior. And you have a Savior. Matthew 5 tells us, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You are blessed for eternity when you know that you cannot be good enough, but Jesus is. Knowing that you have nothing to offer to God, you are blessed because you know that even though you did not earn it, you are covered over by the blood of Jesus, and you've been given the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. In this two-front battle, the devil knows about your sinful heart. He tries to use it against you. He tempts you. He accuses you. He tries to get you to climb up on your high horse to look down on others who are worse than you. Knowing you are poor in spirit disarms the devil. He tempts you. And you know, aha, it is the crafty devil again trying to tempt me to take the bait. He tries to accuse you, and you can reply, "Devil, you are absolutely right. I am a sinner. But I am baptized. Jesus has paid for my sin. Go talk to him." The devil tries to get you up on your high horse of self-righteousness, and you just slap that nag on the rump and get it to run away because you know you're a sinner like everyone else. And strangely, knowing you are sinful to the core and cannot stop being a sinner makes it easier in your battle against sin. You can battle sin in your thoughts without being surprised at your sin. Battle them knowing that Jesus has already paid for those sins. Battle them knowing you are a baptized child of God. You can stand your ground against the devil and his demons because you have the armor of God. You can withstand his fiery arrows because you are protected by the truth of Jesus. The devil has no power over you. You are on the side of the victor. In Christ, you have victory over the devil and over your own sinful heart. And you gather here each week to be fortified for the battle against the devil and against your own sinful desires. And here you receive the forgiveness of sins in abundance, in the words of absolution and in the body and blood of Jesus in Holy Communion. Here you again put on the armor of God and are strengthened for the battle. And as you declare when there's a baptism, and as we'll declare at late service for little Elijah Pern, you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. You are a baptized child of God wearing the armor of God. Stand your ground. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise for prayers.
Sandy, Janelle Fonda's name is fighting cancer. For Kevin Beck and Frederick Selmayr, who has COVID. For the family of Ron Schumacher, father of Matt Schumacher, who died. For Wilma Burns, a friend of Carolyn Ott, who has COVID. For Marla, a friend of Carolyn Ott, who has cancer. For Eric Schlade, who has been hospitalized with complications from COVID. And for Tom Heiss, Carrie Keller's father, who is in the ICU with COVID. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in the word of truth, that by his direction we would not stray from the way of God's commandments nor forget the wonderful blessings he has given us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the full armor of God that clothed in truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, and bearing the sword of the Spirit, which is his word, God will protect us from every assault of the devil. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for protection against everything that defiles in heart and soul, to keep us from all evil thoughts, immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness, and to create a pure heart and renew a right spirit in us, that we may be as holy as he is holy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all pastors and teachers, parents and grandparents, and for all who teach the faith, that we may grow in wisdom and the knowledge of God's love in Christ, and that the gospel may continue to spread throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for those who struggle with doubt and temptation, that God will assure and deliver them, showing himself a refuge for the powerless and strength for every weakness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all in need of health, healing, and mercy, including Becky, Jeff, Sandy, Kevin, Ron Stanley, Wilma, Marla, Eric, and Tom, that the Lord of life has strengthened them with his word of grace to look to him for comfort in the midst of suffering and pain. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For hearts purified by God's cleansing word and able to lead godly lives before him, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.